All right. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Well, Father, we just praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we just magnify you, exalt you. We're just excited to be here to worship the Lord, to fellowship, to bring the name of Jesus out in our midst so that we know whom we have believed. Father, we thank you that you have opened the door into righteousness. You've opened the door into glory, into faith, into your kingdom. And we thank you that we have stepped through, not because of our own righteousness, just because you have offered a gift. And we said, yeah, we need that. I need that. So we just receive it with thanksgiving and with joy. We ask you to open your word to us tonight so that we're fully brought into a place where we have everything that we need to live according to your kingdom in this world, in this life, in this body. And we magnify you, we praise you, we glorify you. We lift up Houston tonight, Lord God, bless him, touch his eye, cause that to be healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Luke. I ask you, Lord God, to heal him and that he would receive the fullness of his body operating without anything, with a name like diabetes. For Jordan, without fear, in the name of Jesus, without some kind of idea of failure, or that the enemy has come in and just causing fear and shuddering. So we just come against that right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. That he just follow after what you have promised. And we give you praise for it and thank you for it. Thank you for Ann, blessing her, finishing, healing her hip and her arm. And Sally, that her knee is completely restored in the name of Jesus. We just bless your saints. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Talking to Timothy. Paul has been preaching to Timothy, talking to Timothy, instructing him as the leader of the current leader of the Ephesian church. He set him in place to ordain elders in that place. And so here Paul is busy exhorting him how to finish the work, how to be a good preacher, a good man of God, somebody who is faithful, somebody who is effective by the Holy Ghost. You can only be effective by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You can only be effective by the Holy Ghost. You can only be what God wants you to be by the Holy Ghost. You can't do it because you read a Bible and then did what it said. You can't do that. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, don't even move. Don't even leave this town. Don't go anywhere until you be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? It's powerful. Jesus said, I mean, you've been with me three and a half years. Here I am. I've been risen from the dead. And I'm with you. And I'm with you for 40 days. And that's not enough. That won't be enough. You got to be having power. Given by God. And the reason that I came was to reconcile you to the Father, and then to, in that reconciliation, provide everything in heaven to produce the will of God and the kingdom of God on the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How's that done? By the Holy Ghost. It's not done because God told you to do something. It's not done because Jesus told you to do something. It's done because Jesus is going to do it. He said, even greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. Why are you going to do greater works than Jesus? Because he's in you. Remember what he said? I am in. He is in you both to will. You've got to have a willer. You've got to have a will. You don't even have the will to do it. He is in you both to will and to do. He's in you to do both. You can't even will. You can't even muscle up the... Sorry, you don't have a water. But that's right, your water's broke, still broke. You're born again, your water's still broke. You ever notice that? Have you ever noticed your water is still broke? in your flesh. He's in you both to will and to do. Scripture said, none followeth after God. That's it. Said, will and to do. He is in you. Both. He said both. Not just, you know, well, your will is good. To will and to do. To set your will. So he says here. Exactly. You have a desire from the heart. But how to perform? Remember what Paul said over in Romans? He says, from my heart I have a desire. But how to perform? I know not. The things that I don't want to do, those are the things I do. The things that I do want to do from the heart, I can't do. The heart is desperately, the Old Testament said, the heart is desperately wicked. That old heart was desperately wicked, and that old heart carries over in the soul. It is carried over in your soul because your soul is flesh. It's of this world. Been trained, raised, characterized, categorized, plugged in, trained by this world. Pardon? No. That's right. The old heart has been regenerated, renewed by the Holy Ghost. It's a new creation. It was an old heart. An old dead heart of stone. But God put in a heart of flesh, a heart of love, a heart of that cares for Him. But yet, the soul is that educated part of you in your mind, will, and emotions that is affected, instructed, and lives out life on this planet by its own experience. And that's why a willer is still broken. But as we feed it the Word of God, and we learn to reign by faith over that will. Over that will. We've set our will now by faith according to the Word of God. Do we succeed? In many days we don't. But we set our will by the Word of God. And then we, by faith, act. By faith we act. By faith God gives a direction or a deed, but that deed is only implemented or only set in motion by the Holy Spirit. So every good deed is not you doing it. Every good deed is not you working up and thinking of a new idea to do something good for God. Every good deed is initiated by the Holy Spirit. Because you have no goodness. You have no desire for goodness in your soul. Amen? Remember, we're divided. Effort or pressure, be good for God. Come on, God would want you to do this. I charge you, talking to Timothy, I charge you, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Now this charge is given to Timothy, but the charge is given to him by faith. We must take all of Scripture in context to speak that and understand that every charge, every command is given to the Spirit to be received and implemented only by faith. I charge you, yes, sir. Everything you have said, I will do. I charge you. I can't do it. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. So He's appearing. And He has a kingdom. And that kingdom is coming. The kingdom is now, but it's also coming. Isn't that funny? Remember, even Jesus said it, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He went teaching the kingdom. Matthew said he went about teaching about the kingdom of heaven. 2,000 years ago, he went about teaching the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus came, the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Here it is. I'm it. I'm sorry? I don't. She must have lost it. She felt she had to leave. She must have lost it. She was probably ashamed. No, I'm just kidding. Now, that's pretty important. We got to leave the country because of that. No. I hope not. As far as I know, I've seen parts of it. My understanding is it's a good adaptation.
This charge.
Yes.
Charge is more of instruction of the better minister of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now these are things that he must do as a minister.
Yes.
Okay, so you're saying that you can't do them?
Not apart from faith.
No, you can't do it apart from faith, but he must, as a minister, have certain things that are under his charge, that are his duties.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. So therefore, he is being encouraged. Here he's teaching him how to be a minister.
Mm-hmm.
And the charge is like you're getting the first Timothy 5:21. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ that the elect angels that thou serve these things without preferring one another.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing them by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Okay, so he's giving him his instructions. It's a duty as a minister.
Yes.
And you perform your duties. You have certain duties you must perform.
That's it.
And you are given certain responsibilities. And you do them even more than by faith. I mean, you do them by faith, but you have to do them because that's the job.
Certainly, you step out to do them, but your doing is not, you have given me a job, therefore I will do it.
Applies to you because you are a minister, you are a priest to the King and to our God.
But I have not been charged exactly what Timothy
is. Well, that's why we're going to get to this.
Yeah,
that's how we're going to get to this. That's the reason we have this.
I mean, yeah,
so these words are not are not divided up just to the man who is a minister. Everybody who is reading this, God is going to give you a charge.
You have a charge. Let's
say
that's a charge. As a king and a priest before God, you have a charge. Okay,
mm-hmm.
There it is. There's the charge that you have. Okay?
But you may just believe that if you take everything to God and not just assume that all this is, you know, just kind of like blank, or, you know, name of the brain, whatever it's called, that we have to take everything to God, you know? I cannot say that the things that Timothy was charged are exactly
these charges.
Mm-hmm. They're all for us. They're for these the believer.
And the Lord will implement them as He say, as He in your particular circumstance.
And in your season, mm-hmm. And in the time that you have to perform them. And if you neglect them, then we neglect the charges that God has given unto mm-hmm. us, because mm-hmm. He has made us kings and priests unto
mm-hmm.
our God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we decide to say, this is for them and this is not for me, you know, then we begin to dissect the Bible and what part is not for me and what part is for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's charging as Paul's, as Timothy's father, because he said you have many teachers but not many fathers. As Paul's father, because he talks to him about his being a son, he tells him, he says, as a minister, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. So these are the mm-hmm. charges that he lays mm-hmm. on us as, because we have to preach the word.
Mm-hmm.
We have to minister
mm-hmm.
the word. I mean, I'm getting ahead
yes.
of you now, but we do them because those are the things that are in our care
mm-hmm.
to do as representatives of Jesus Christ on the earth.
Yes.
Okay? And who quickens us? God, to do all
that's
works.
That's right.
He wills and he does, you know, his good pleasure. The whole scripture is his good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And what is his good pleasure? That we preach the word.
Yes.
That we be in season and out of season. When we're not in season, you know, to be in season and to be out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and long suffering and
mm-hmm.
doctrine.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, here's what he's saying, is that here, in the reason that God has given us these scriptures is not, this is not just for a minister.
That's right.
God will use this. He is, certainly it is for the minister, for the person who is called to an eldership ministry, someone who is called to a ministry of the leadership of pastoring or apostles or prophets or evangelists or pastors who teach, evangelists. I charge you, therefore, before God, because I'm charging you before God because God gave me this command.
That's right.
So now I'm giving you this command. He told me to tell you. He told me, and he told me to tell you.
In 1 Timothy 5:21, he says, lay hands with no man suddenly. So we're talking about the passing on of the authority from one person to another.
Recognize no one suddenly.
Right.
That's right. With just a junior person.
Right. So he's giving them instructions. It's like Jesus gave the disciples instructions. It's really the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of John, he says, you know, I pray for those who will believe because of what they've said.
That's right.
And so therefore, he prays for everybody who's believed because of where the gospel first started. The man who brought me the Lord brought me to the Lord because he was obedient to that. And the man that brought him, and
mm-hmm.
the man, whoever I bring to the Lord, and whoever they bring to the Lord. And that's how the progression goes. And now here he's telling us what our charges are
mm-hmm.
before God
yes.
himself. Now we may not be standing in front of a church, but we sure do go in front of people, and we sure need to work, do these things,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
before brethren.
That's right.
Especially before brethren who call themselves brethren.
Yes.
And if we have to do these things, then these things must be done.
That's correct.
That's right.
That's it.
That's it. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm reading on now, and I realize how general it is. It's
mm-hmm.
like.
Right, exactly. So let's look at it. He says, and I'm charging you before the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This guy is, I mean, he's the ruler of all. He's the judge of the quick and of the living and the dead.
Yeah.
This guy at the end, I mean, he's coming, he's appearing, his kingdom. Preach the word.
That's right.
In other words, before God and everybody, all the angels, all the demons, preach the word. Here's the word to you.
Yeah.
Preach the word. Be instant. Be ready. Be instant. What's that mean? I need you to go out and talk to that lady over there. Let me go pray. No. Don't go pray.
I said go speak
yeah. to the woman.
If God says go speak.
And why is that? Because he knows that he is in you by his spirit.
That's right.
And you've got to know that his spirit is in you, and he lives in you, and he lives, and in him we live, and we move, and we have our being. He is in us.
Yeah.
See, and most of the church does not know that.
That's right.
They're waiting for the preacher to go out and do it.
That's right. Well,
come see Pastor so-and-so. Come see Pastor Jim, Pastor Dave. Come, you know, let me bring you to my church. Forget the church. You bring the church already cooked. Amen?
That's right.
Bring them to church already packaged, already baked, already, you know, bring them over here so that they can begin to grow, not so they can just, you know, get ABCs. You can give them the ABCs. Preach the word. You're out there. Preach the word. Be instant. Be ready in season when it's expected and when it's not, out of season. When it would, is early in the scripture talking about a man as a man born out of time. Well, gee, it wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right opportunity. You know, God will send you at a right opportunity, okay?
And the thing is, what I feel is a lot of people, I wait to hear the Lord speak to me to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we can step out of the will of God and make a mistake by injecting ourselves
yes.
before the time. Because some people just come in and shove Jesus into your face.
Yeah, you got two different kinds of people. The people who won't go and the people who go too quickly.
That's right.
See, and then that's where you have have all kinds of different people in the evangelical circles say, is you've got people who got to, well, by golly, we're going to knock on every door, you know, and beat people up with the name of Jesus, beat people up with the scriptures, you know, and what you're going to do is not answer your phone when it's ringing. And what we're doing here is saying, look, here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to hear him.
That's right.
Up at the Mount of Transfiguration. Hear him.
Well, he's
here's Moses. Here's Elijah. Here's, you know, here Jesus. I want you to hear him. All right? And what we're doing here is, I think we're hanging up on Dan. Isn't that terrible? Praise the Lord. Okay, now, if he wants to talk to me, he needs to come to church. All right. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. Yuck, I don't want to do that. But he's talking to the pastors, but he's also talking, look, I'll show you something else. He's talking like over in 1 Corinthians. He says, if you rebuke somebody, do it in a spirit of meekness. If you see a brother overtaken in a fault, do it in a spirit of meekness. That is teachableness. That is, boy, if not for the grace of God, there go I.
Exactly. It's only sound I can do that if I talk about myself first.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's the thing. That's what God is doing. That's what God is declaring to us. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Again, specifically, yeah, ministers. Not specifically, all believers. Amen? Okay. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, instruct.
What is, okay, he tells us to be in season, in season and out of season.
That's right.
What is out of season?
When it's not convenient.
When you're not prepared.
When it's time and when it's not time.
Right.
When it seems, because Jesus may call you in a moment that is not convenient. That's instant out of season. I'm in the grocery store. Pray. Okay. And you learn to do that. I tell you, you learn to do that. You know, somebody will say, pray. Somebody will say, pray for me. You know, and I learned to do this. You pray now. Don't pray later. You know, just stop right in the middle of the whole thing. And so what you do is just pray now. You know, stop on the street corner. Stop in the store. Just pray right there. You know?
Whenever God leads you.
I mean, you know, you might get nervous, you know, when you're praying. You know, praying there with the store. All right? But go ahead and pray.
What is reprove?
Reprove. It is to give reproof, which is an instruction.
Reprove.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Reprove, rebuke, give a criticism in essence. Rebuke. Don't do that. Reprove. Do this.
So
exhort.
What is a rebuke?
A rebuke is an instruction to stop it.
Stop it.
Rebuke. Don't do that. Correct. All of these are various modes of correction.
When Paul talks to us
teaching
about,
and correction.
When Paul talks to
chastising
us about the brethren in 1 Corinthians 5.
Mm-hmm.
He says, therefore let us keep peace. Not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Mm-hmm.
I write to you as an epistle, not to company with fornicators.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, but with covetous or extortioners or idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world.
Now, right.
You've got to be in the world. You've got to... So
don't not talk to the people because they'll never hear the truth.
But which ones are you talking about? But now I've written unto you not to keep company with any man that is called a brother.
Don't make him your friends.
A brother.
Yeah.
That he's called a
right.
brother.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, somebody in the church.
Right.
Be a fornicator. So you're telling us not to keep company with people who are in the church who are fornicators?
That's right.
Covetous or idolaters or railers or drunkards?
Don't hang out with them. Don't make them your best friend.
With such as one, no. Not
that's
to
right.
eat.
Yes. That's right. Don't make him your buddy.
For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? You not judge them that are within.
Mm-hmm.
Judge them that are within.
Yeah. Make a judgment. Make a judgment about activities.
He is telling me to reprove and rebuke. And if he follows one of these things, one of these categories here.
Mm-hmm.
Understand on this principle.
Yes. So in other words, here's the deal. Is if you've got people in the church who are walking in sin, living in sin, and do not What you do is you reprove them, rebuke them, but you don't put your arm around them and say, hey, let's go out to IHOP. Let's go golfing. Let's go skiing. No. You're hanging out with them.
In other words, don't even hang out with
Don't hang out with these people. That's
don't
right.
Don't even have fellowship with
them. That's right. Exactly. You reprove them, rebuke them, exhort them, but you don't hang out with them.
But them that are without judge, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
That's right.
So he's telling me as a minister, as a man of God, that I need to rebuke and reprove.
Well, he's talking about specifically that guy who's sleeping with his dad's wife.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You know, he don't even hang out with such a person.
He said to give him over to Satan for the destruction of his body. So he sold him, he said.
Just let him, just don't even hang out with the guy.
Well, no, he told him to hand him over to Satan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But here he's being more specific about different.
Right, right.
Covetous, idolaters, railers, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, or such as one.
Right.
Know not to eat.
Right. So basically, he's just relating all of these various types to the guy who is the example. All these specific issues.
Wow.
And such the like. And things like that.
Such as one, do not eat. For that, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. Them that are without, God judge.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's it. Don't hang out with them. That's it. If they refuse to hear a rebuke, just write them off. Give them to say. If Romans chapter 1 talks about that, God has given them over to a reprobate mind. They decided they didn't want to have God in their knowledge. Now this guy is saying he's a Christian. He's claiming to be one of us, but he's not one of us. He's not crucifying his flesh.
In 1 Corinthians, he doesn't call him a reprobate. Mm-hmm. He told him to judge him and to throw him out of the church.
That's true.
In 2 Corinthians, he says, hey, he repented, bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
He's repented. He's changed. His life has changed. Now bring him back.
Bring him back.
Rebuke him. Reprove him. Throw him out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Give his body over to Satan. But in 2 Corinthians, he says, hey, you're going too far.
If a guy has repented, bring him back. Sure. Amen.
But if he hasn't, and so what does he say? He says, bring forth fruits meet for repentance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's got to be a fruit.
Right. There's got to be a place for repentance.
Repentance has happened.
That's right.
But fruit has not been produced, then there is no repentance. It's just a mockery, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Here's the thing, is Jesus, when he was out, he was ministering to these people, like for instance, woman at the well, or all the, you know, publicans and sinners. He was out there, he was out there in the ministry.
In the ministry.
He was out there ministering to them, to bring them, tell them, Jesus, Jesus forgives you. Your Father loves you. Your Father in heaven loves you. So, but these people were just sinners in general.
That's right.
We're talking about people
God
now.
Is judging them.
And that's where he says here.
We're talking about the people in the church who call themselves.
Right, exactly.
Who are idolaters, revilers, drunkards, whatever it is in there.
And saying I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I'm the righteousness of God. He told the woman who caught in sin, he says, I don't condemn you, but go out and sin no more.
Yes.
He told the man at the well at Siloam, at the pool of Siloam. He says, don't you sin anymore.
Right.
Worse is going to come upon you.
There's your exhortation.
Right. That's your exhortation.
That's your teaching.
But your rebuke is, you have to rebuke. Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So preach the word. Be instant. Be ready. In season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. In other words, do it all. Be ready. With all long-suffering. Man, these people are just wearing me out. With all long-suffering. How long did Jesus suffer? He suffered long. Suffered 3.5 years.
Yeah, but here he says exhort.
Yes.
With long suffering. In other words, keep on exhorting with long suffering and doctrine.
That's right. Even if they don't appear to be getting it. Like you people.
Okay, this is where he says reprove and rebuke. So if you reprove and rebuke, what you're hoping for is that in that reprove and rebuke, they'll come back to God.
That's it.
Okay. And if they come back to God, you exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You continue the ministry.
So what if they come back every day? So it's kind of like a continuous sin.
Come back to what?
To sin. They sin every day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And
they repent every day. Great. Let them keep coming because they're going to get it. They're going to get it. I believe that person is going to get it if they are truly repenting. Now, if they're just, I'm sorry. No. God is going to make revelation. If you've got somebody who is continually coming and desiring to know the truth, they're in a besetting sin. I believe God will break them. God will put them in a position, and they will be broken. There are many people who are in the church who have been continually in a sin. And they can't, wish I could, but they like it so much.
But that's why
they enjoy it so much.
1 Corinthians 6:10 mm-hmm. says, mm-hmm. They have besetting sins,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. if they call themselves brother,
mm-hmm.
he said, don't even associate with them.
Well, what he's talking about here is that person who is sinning with impudence, with in your face. That person who is sinning and saying, it's okay. This is okay.
But he's a brother. He calls himself
right.
a brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
He's a brother.
And he's saying it's okay. What he's
and
doing
he
is okay.
Sin.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, there are people who are, the besetting sin, for my part, the besetting sin is the thing that I want to get rid of this thing, but it just keeps getting on me. So that person is desiring sincerely to be free. So, but it keeps coming. You don't shut that person out. Your desire is for that person's desire is to get free. You got in other words, you got the people who are sinning but desiring to get out of it, get free from it. Then you got the other people who are sinning in your face. Oh, there's a guy sitting there with his dad sitting at the back, and he's sitting up here with his dad's wife, acting like sleeping with her is okay, and he sits on the front row of the church.
Right.
He is not repentant.
Or somebody who comes into the church.
The difference is somebody who's repentant, and the difference and is somebody is, yeah, and the, and somebody who is, just basically saying my sin doesn't, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My sin doesn't matter. I'll just sin, because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Shall we sin that righteousness may abound? God forbid. Absolutely not. So that's there is a difference between somebody with a besetting sin, in other words, somebody who's desiring to get free, and they keep coming to the meeting, keep seeking encouragements, keep seeking the deliverance of the Lord. Or, I mean, that's not the guy you want to cut out. That's not the guy you want to cut out, but the guy you want to say, okay, look, you're in
comes,
here.
But the guy comes to the church
mm-hmm.
with his wife, with his husband, with his father's wife.
Yes. Yeah, and saying that's okay.
Yeah.
You boot that guy out.
And the guy who comes in and is a reviler and an idolater and a drunkard, and he continues to come into church.
Exactly.
Boot
that guy out. Amen. In other words, when you say boot him out, now what that's really talking about is like it would be like the Thursday Bible study. You can let that guy who's the reviler, this is a public meeting. This is a meeting where everybody can come and hear the gospel. Where's that guy going to hear the gospel? Where's that reviler going to hear the gospel? If he doesn't come here. If he doesn't come to this word.
Yeah.
Right. He can sit on the back. We'll make a little pew for him. Then come on, sit on the back row.
But on the Thursday Bible studies, you would not be allowed to come.
No. In particular. Now, truly, even at that is also really a public meeting. The house church, what we say the house church, is the believers. That's the one where it's believers only. Those who are in the fellowship. That's the house church. That's the one where, and we don't have those right now per se. We've got one.
Yeah,
we've got running.
You've got Bible studies.
That's
Bible
true, but even at those, even at those, most of those are, you can kind of bring everybody. But there are specific meetings that were meetings from house to house. That this is where doctrine, prayers, giving of thanks, all of those things were taking place there in Romans, in Acts chapter 2:42. That was that house meeting, where the not the public meeting in the temple court, but the house meeting, and that's the meeting, that's the gathering that he's really talking about. Don't let that guy in. Any meeting that's a public meeting where the gospel is being preached, large or small.
Well, the Bible tells us a little leaven, let us alone.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
If,
and that's why we keep those clean.
If I'm being excused for my sin, And everybody else is going to say, no, they don't care.
Right, exactly. You're going to come closer in the smaller meeting to not allowing that.
And if the big church,
yeah, exactly. And really, if the gospel's being preached in that large, in that big public meeting, that's where, you know, you want them to come. But the time will come when they want to, so he's telling you to preach the gospel. Reprove. Say it. All these things.
Exhorted with all long-suffering and doctrine.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So right now, while the getting's good, while it's yet day, while it is yet day, preach, reprove, rebuke. Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't put up with it. No, I ain't going to listen to that. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Do we have some of that today? Oh, church light. How many of you heard of church light? L-I-T-E, church light. That's not the name of a church, but church light, where you go to church, and boy, it's just Jesus. And everything is just geared toward entertainment. Everything is geared toward, and then there's a little light message.
Well, it's geared to their flesh.
Exactly.
It excuses their sins. It excuses their flesh.
That's right. Let's all just get along.
We invite everybody to come with a universal doctrine.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it. That's
and
right.
Everybody's welcome to come, no matter what you believe. And
there's no reproof.
There's no reproof.
No rebuke. Little exhortation.
Exhortation.
Now let's just.
Whatever you want.
Can't we all just get along?
You all get along.
Okay. Let's have a seminar on how to have a better divorce. All right? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Myths. People are going to say that Adam and Eve and Noah are a fable. Where, you know, their New Age doctrine mixed with a little bit of Bible is the truth. That's the fable. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. That's prophetic. Here, the time is coming. But watch, and I'll tell you what, they did this even back then. The Gnostic Gospels. A Jesus that was ethereal. A Jesus that really didn't even exist. He was never really here.
Oh, the secret gospel. Yeah. Somebody said, hey, I got a book of the secret.
And they're coming out again. Everybody watch the History Channel. They're coming out again.
Oh,
they're all coming out again.
Oh, and the one about what? Mary's...
The Da Vinci Code?
No.
Or whatever?
Mary didn't die. She came to somebody or her big brother.
All kinds of nonsense. That's right.
It's either give hints or fables or endless genealogies which minister questions. More questions rather than God
together
find which is in
the
mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Amen.
Even then,
huh? Well, he's because the people will come in and they will try to do this. They'll try to turn you into this. There are people who are coming into the church already. And he says, don't do it. Don't listen to them. Don't let them drag you into that.
Yeah.
Don't let them drag you into those things.
There's one that says, you know, people... gain is godliness. No, don't make God gain with godliness.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Godliness with contentment, what you see.
Is great gain.
Mm-hmm. Great gain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got people who come in and say, you know, do this, do that, do this, do that.
This is the proof of godliness if you're driving a Cadillac and,
yeah,
you know, if you're prosperous.
Like some people who say, you know, don't eat this, don't eat that.
Mm-hmm.
First Corinthians tells us about that. It's just, you know,
okay, keep breathing. But watch you. Keep your eyes open. In all things, endure afflictions. Man, people are going to afflict you. You know that? Endure them. I'm going to run away. I don't like afflictions. I don't like people to not like me. See, when I was young. Yeah, I wouldn't ask anything. Jim asked me to get people to do things. I wouldn't ask people to do anything. Why? Because I'm afraid I did it all. Because I'm afraid they'd reject me. That big spirit of rejection. I was afraid to ask people anything, to do anything. You know? just fearful. You know, now I'll ask anybody to do anything. Well, why don't you do it? No, I ask you to do it. Take care of it. And but watch you in all things. Endure afflictions. See, I didn't like enduring afflictions. I didn't want anybody to afflict me or to think ill, think bad of me. You know,
you were
that's
more
fear.
About their faces.
That's it. Be not afraid of their faces. Boy, was I afraid.
Well, I
mean, there are people like you people, you know,
right.
Scary faces. You know, scary faces. Jack thought I was going to talk about him.
Jack.
But watch you in all things. Keep your eyes open in all things. See, people will snooker you.
That's right. They'll try to snooker you.
See? Just keep your eyes open in all things. Watch. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof. That is, exercise your ministry.
Full.
Exercise it. Get out there and work it. Do it. What God gave you to do, do it. Don't just sit on it. Don't sit on your hands. See, God's going to perform it in you as you, by faith, not to please Him, not to make Him happy with you. God won't be happy with me. No, forget that. He's always pleased with you. What he desires is the full effect of the ministry gift that He's placed on the inside of you so that someone else is going to get built up. Somebody else is going to receive from your ministry. Do you know you got a ministry that people will receive from? Amen. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're filled with the Spirit. There is a ministry, not just Timothy as a minister, as a preacher, but you, every one of you, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So make full proof of your ministry. That is, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid to be used of God. Don't be afraid to be used of God. Now Paul says, so all that. So in other words, and he says that for this reason. I am now ready to be offered. Remember what Jesus said? I'm going away. Here's Paul. I'm going away. So, you get ready. You be ready. Instant. Because I'm going to go. I'm on the way out. For I'm now ready to be offered. I'm now ready to go. I know it's about time. I'm about to lose my head. The time of my departure is at hand. Sounds like it's at the airport. The time of my departure is at hand. It's right here. I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. How many of you know you're in a fight? I have fought a good fight. Do you know you're in a fight? You're in a fight. Ooh, ooh. You are in a fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished. You're in a race. I've finished my race. I have kept the faith. That is, I have not given up the faith. I have kept the faith. That's right. It's like I didn't drop the baton. Now again, all of this is by faith. It's not by, man, I've... I mean, I was never beat up. That is, I always got back up because I knew whom I had believed.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That good work that He began in you, He will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's His promise. You know, I have somebody in my group who is nervous about that, afraid that God is. He's not able to do what He promised, or that what God wanted him to do, he's not going to be able to do it.
Jude 24.
Mm-hmm.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling.
That's it.
And to present you faultless before the presence
of his glory.
That's
it. Awesome.
With exceeding joy.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
With exceeding joy.
Amen.
To the only wise God.
That's
our
it.
Savior, be glory and
majesty. All of these things.
Power, like now and forever. That's what keeps you.
And it's not the thing that you feel, it's the thing that you know. It's not the thing that you feel, it's the thing that you know. See, somebody, we've got to get something. I'm trying to get a feeling. Or get rid of a feeling.
There's the
note. Yes, right. So, you see, when you're trying to get rid of a feeling, it's because you don't have a promise you're standing on. You don't have a promise that you have known and known and known and meditated on and received and taken it and called it your own and received it. Because as you worship God and as you take His Word, He will begin to change you. Does it take a long time? Honestly, yes, it does. Because you are filling your mind and your brains with the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is giving it to you. You know, the seed is planted and it's watered, but who gives the increase? God gives the increase. So we're talking about seed planted. We're talking about the Word of God planted, and God gives increase. But you keep doing it. You just keep planting, sowing, watering by faith. Not just people, but you. You. Because you got things in your head that are wrong ideas. You got things in your head you've believed lies that the enemy could actually have you. Peter, you remember Jesus said, I've desired to sift you. The enemy wants to have you, to sift you as wheat. And Peter's going like, yeah, I know. I can feel it. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not.
That's right.
Amen? So in other words, you've got your faith. You feel like your faith is failing. But he said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And even though it feeleth like you're fainting, it feeleth like you're failing, you're not. You can never fall. If these things be in you and abound, you will never fall. Amen? So you're building yourself up. You're building yourself up. That's it. Bringing that Word of God constantly. You remember what Joshua said. He said, the Lord said to Joshua, that this word of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Well, no, I'm talking, you're over here. That means people are talking trash instead of the Word of God.
Oh, to him who ordered this conversation aright.
That's right. That's it.
Will I show the salvation?
That's
of God?
It. Exactly.
You've got to change the conversation.
Speak the truth.
You've got to speak the truth, because mm-hmm. anytime you speak a lie,
that's it.
It goes against the truth. He told the woman at the well, God seeks those who will worship Him. Worship in spirit and in
yes.
truth.
Yes.
Truth is the basis of your worship to God.
Yes.
Because everything is visible before God.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you tell a lie, you're going against God. And you're not glorifying God at all, because you're trusting more mm-hmm. in yourself and in your lie than the power of God
that's
to,
it.
To do a work.
Yes. Amen.
Truth is important. I mean, that's there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Reproof for correction.
I have kept the faith. That is, I didn't give it up. In other words, even when it looked bad, I kept the faith because I knew who was true. I knew who was the one who's the winner. I knew the one who's the winner. I have kept. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Is that Paul pumping himself up? No, he's instructing you. Fight the good fight. Finish your course. Don't give up. Keep the faith. Hold on to it. Don't let anybody take it from you. Hereafter, that because from hereafter is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Not because I'm good, but because I believe. Hereafter there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, the day of his appearing. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Do your diligence now, talking to Timothy. Now he's giving him some instruction. Do your diligence to come to me. In other words, I want to see you. I want to see you before I go. Do your diligence to come shortly to me. Now listen to all this.
Yeah.
For Demas has forsaken me. My guy who was traveling with me. How would you like to be traveling on a mission field and your right-hand guy runs out.
Why?
Having loved this present world. How many know that's easy to do? I mean, this world, present world. I mean, we got satellite, you know, we got Chili's, we got the Texas Rangers. Love this present world. Yeah, I don't care about that. You know, care about Neiman Marcus.
You don't care.
I don't even know those guys. My wife don't care. She likes Ross.
Oh, Ross. All right, we got Ross.
Dress for less.
We got Ross.
That's right. Now, if you took her, Janet is what I call the queen of take it back. She is the queen of take it back. I mean, she'll buy five things and take back four. I mean, she has to do it now. I think it's just because she wants to get out. I think she just does it. She has a reason to get out and do something, has another outing, you know. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was always doing this, you know. He's walking down. They were in Las Vegas, you know, or whatever town that would have been. And Demas was walking there. He was looking at all the lights with the shows, and he just couldn't. He had tongue hanging out. And he just could not handle it. He loved this present world. And he's departed. Well, Thessalonica must have been. That must have been kind of like Las Vegas.
Thessalonica.
Ooh, yeah, baby.
That was a
hot town. Yeah.
That was Bardello, man.
For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world.
Look where he went.
That's right. Went to Atlantic City.
He went to Thessalonica, man.
That's right.
He went back to the Thessalonians, man.
Now I don't know that. I think he's the only guy, because as far as we know, Titus was okay, unless this is another Titus. It could have been another Titus.
No, I think Titus, I don't think...
Crescens to Galatia, right. And Titus to Dalmatia.
I guess Titus must have left. Well, okay. He didn't say because of this present world, he said he left.
That's true. So it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody forsook him or loved the present world. But basically everybody was gone except my son Luke. My son Luke, the doctor, he was with him there. Only Luke is with me. Now here's one thing I like about this. Is you remember Mark? You remember John Mark?
Yeah,
remember back during the early days when he was with Barnabas? And they came back from the first mission trip.
Yeah.
And Barnabas said, let's take Mark with us. Well, see, Mark left in the middle of the first trip.
Right.
He bailed. He's like, oh, I'm going back to mama. Now here, listen to what he says now. Take Mark and bring him with you. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. How many know that some people, they start out kind of shaky? And Paul at that time, he wasn't willing to put up with that.
He wasn't willing to be.
What's the matter with you? He wasn't willing to put up with that or to have patience with that. But this man, this young man, turned out to be a blessing. Amen. Turned out to be a blessing. And Tychicus, have I sent to Ephesus? Now Tychicus may have been sent to Ephesus so that Timothy could come see. What you call it? Paul. Now the cloak that I... This is great stuff. I love this stuff. Now the coat I left at Troas, you know, with Carpus. When you come, bring that with you. And the books, but especially the parchments. Now, Alexander the silversmith. Remember that cat from Ephesus? The coppersmith. Did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Yeah, well, God get him. Paul said, I'm not going to get him.
No, the Lord reward him.
See? Paul said, I'd like you to kill him before you come. No, he didn't say that.
No, he said, the Lord's
going to take care of that. Don't worry about it.
But that's not the spirit of salvation. Like, I think of all these people that we should pray that God...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, the Lord reward him according to his works.
I like that.
Yeah. In other words, the Lord will take care of him. The Lord will take care of him. If the guy works evil, well, you know, he's going to get a reward for it. Not a good one either. Of whom be you beware of him also, for he has greatly withstood our words. He continues to withstand or to come against us. Now, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Now, I was talking about him, his testimony before Nero. At my first testimony, there was nobody with me. I was all by myself. But all men and everybody forsook me. Anybody remember somebody else like that? Jesus? Yeah. And scattered like roaches. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive me. You're all going to run away. You are all going to run away. Every one of you. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Hey, when nobody else does, listen to me. When nobody else will stand with you, when everybody has left you, don't condemn them. Amen? Everybody else has forsaken you. Maybe all the Christians in your deal, in your office. Maybe I'm talking to some big crowd here. You know, or all the believers who should have been with you forsake you. What do you say? The Lord stood with me.
Where he says that at the first answer, no man stood with me. Mm-hmm. At the first trial, mm-hmm. before.
All men forsook me.
Yeah, everybody thought he was a sinner. I mean, everybody said, my God, he's a criminal. You know? Mm-hmm. They got to be changed. He must be guilty for a reason.
Well, these are all the guys that.
That was funny.
Well, these are all the guys who came in. You know, they were hanging out in Rome with him. All of a sudden, Nero, who? I'm out of here.
I'm also scared at the beginning.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, it won't hurt for long.
It won't hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
The head will roll.
Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me.
Lord.
Jesus standing right here by. Hey, Jesus, standing right there with me, and he strengthened me. That by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear. In other words, I boldly spoke. I boldly testified, like Martin Luther, you know, before the council at Worms. Don't you love going to the Diet of Worms? When I heard that, I was like, yeah. Thought they made it. You know, we all thought that. First time we ever heard that preached, and that was Jim, you know, when we were kids. And he was a kid too. And, you're talking about the Diet of Worms. So you're all thinking, yuck, they made Martin Luther eat worms. Gross. Serious, that's what you think. The Diet of Worms. That was a trial. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, that the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That one, I got out on that one. I got out on that one. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and he will preserve me to his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Even though he got his head cut off, yeah.
Yep, he delivered him to heaven.
He got delivered.
Got delivered to heaven. Got delivered
the Lord, I'm delivered from every evil work.
Hallelujah.
That's it.
Right here.
Salute. Now, I think this is funny. Prissa. It's like Priscilla got a nickname. Prissa. Yeah. Salute Prissa. Like Margot. Prissa and Aquila. And the household of Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus.
Yeah,
there you go. And his house. See, they had a house church. Erastus abode at Corinth. And Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Sick? How come he didn't heal him? What's up with that?
Yeah, what is up with that?
What is up with that?
Yeah, what is up with that?
Yeah, the guy he How left. Paul didn't even pray.
God doesn't heal him.
Paul didn't even pray for this guy. Well, he might have prayed.
He
didn't get him healed. What's
yeah,
up?
That's what I'm getting at. Well, so what's with this
sickness? Yeah, I don't know.
So are we supposed to know?
Apparently not.
Oh.
He left him at Miletum sick.
Yeah, he left him sick.
That's right.
Yeah, but if Paul was this man of faith, I mean, you know, Jesus tells us he's the Lord of healer.
All I'm saying is that sometimes people get sick and they're not quite healed all the way all at once.
You know what?
You ever seen that?
Some of these sicknesses are completely
gone. God is gonna do something with it. God's gonna do something with
that sickness.
Is God in the sickness? Does he end the sickness? No, he's not in the sickness.
Does the sickness come through God?
But in the middle of it,
Does he
can bless you.
Does God allow sickness to come to us?
He must. He didn't stop it.
He does, because everything has to come through him for us.
He didn't stop it. Now. Now.
No,
like a sickness?
Through us. Through him. Through him. He has to allow it. He has to allow Satan.
If he didn't stop it.
Satan, he allows him to test
them. Now, I'm a faith boy. I want you to know. He may not come up with it. I'm a faith boy. That's right. This guy was sick.
I
mean, I'm reading the Bible here.
Sick.
In other words, I left him there sick because he didn't have enough faith.
Oh.
Well, he didn't say that. No. Do your diligence to come before winter. That is, don't waste time.
Bring the coat.
Yeah, bring my coat.
Bring my coat.
Do your diligence. In other words, look at your watch and look at your calendar. Make sure you don't wait too late.
It comes shortly unto me. It says shortly now, dude. Come before winter, please.
Eubulus greets you. And Pudens. And Linus. And Claudia. Claudia. And all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. There's grace right there. Grace be with you. Grace be with you. Now, does grace be with you? Is that just like happy trails? Is it just like happy trails to you? No. Grace be with you. It's like, you know, when we say peace be to your home. We're not just kidding. You know, we're saying that for real. Peace be to you. Grace be to you. Amen. Father, we just rejoice. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for causing wisdom to come to us through the Word of God. We thank you, Lord God, for these epistles, these letters, which have come to us from your Spirit. And they're applicable to us, not just to the one guy, but they're applicable to us so that we may learn and be instructed in the goodness of God, and the plan of God, the mission, but also in the hope that comes through faith. So we honor you, we love you, we praise you. We thank you, Lord God, that you will bring these things to our remembrance so that we may have knowledge of them, that we may trust you, that we may not be helpless, but filled with knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and power to fulfill all that you have charged us with. And we worship you and we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. repent.